You're welcome.
Great job with the song selections. Yesterday, we had a wonderful event here at the building. Kay Finley helped put it together. It was the first Sundays on Saturday event. We're hoping to make this an annual event. We're hoping to grow it every year. And for those of you who are confused what that means, it's Sunday like ice cream Sundays on Saturday. So we came. Several people came up here. We ate ice cream together, and we talked a little bit about the Christian education here at Brooks. We also prayed for the students, and it was really cool because Kay had set up all these different tables, and like there was a table for all the students that live in Raleigh and all that live in Fuquay. And a table that has all the students that are living over in Holly Springs and here and there and here and there. And so different groups got around every table and prayed for those students there. It was a wonderful opportunity. It was a beautiful opportunity. I'm really looking forward to see how this grows year after year after year. Later, I'm going to let Kay come and describe a couple of things that we're working on right now. But that is going to be saved for later. For right now, we're going to be talking a little bit about Christian education. Now, what I'm talking about with Christian education, I'm not referring to, say, Christian colleges, sending your kids to Harding or Lipscomb or anything like that. No, I'm talking about the concept of what we do as we try to educate. Ourselves to follow Christ better. And that starts all the way from when you're a baby, and it doesn't end until the good Lord calls you home. Because we are growing day after day, trying to help each other. Now, the stuff I'm going to go over, I went over a little bit of this close to 6 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long? In about a month, I will have been here 6 years. That is crazy. This last June, I celebrated 15 years of full-time youth ministry. And people ask why I'm crazy. This research comes from Notre Dame, a professor named Christian Smith, and the team conducting the National Study of Youth and Religion at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You know, it's interesting. I actually did my master's work on this, and I missed that little bit. It is a longitudinal examination of Christian young people that started in 2001 and is still going today. A long time ago, and we've known this is a problem, I've heard people talk about this problem, and no, Brad did not get together with me to talk about what we were talking about. You're going to see a lot of commonalities in what he was talking about, what I am talking about. But this seeming epidemic that happens decade after decade after decade of Christian teens leaving the church. When I first began my youth ministry voyage, and keep in mind, these statistics are altered depending on different demographics, but it just gives you a picture of what we're dealing with. If you consider falling away, meaning absolutely all the teenagers who leave the Church of Christ, and it has gotten a little better right now, but historically, it appears to have gotten a little bit worse. 15 years ago, that was 88% of all of our students will leave the Church of Christ. Now, obviously, there goes into another caveat. Sometimes they leave the Church of Christ and they go to community churches or something along that land. Okay, so if we're thinking about that, understand, if we're talking about leaving the church, leaving faith, then we are still talking about a solid 65%. And it's right around those numbers, decade after decade after decade. So these guys decide that they want to try to figure out what's going on. And what they did is that they discovered what is called, ironically, the five common denominators of the few that hold on to their faith through childhood, through high school, into college, and into adulthood. It's not really five because there at the bottom you've got a few that flow in and out. So we're going to probably cover about six or seven of these things. The number one common denominator, according to all of this research, This one is pretty simple. Personal faith. Do your students, do your children, okay, new terminology, do our children, do our students have a personal faith of their own? Meaning their own relationship with Jesus. If we said, you know, today I can't go to church, are they going to try every effort to go anyway? Do they have a personal relationship? The saying has been used, God does not want grandchildren. He wants children. He wants followers of Him. Now, one of the instances here, you know, I've always heard this great story, but I've heard it pointed in a different direction that really got me to thinking, okay? And you've heard this analogy, true story, you know, about the guy who made a tightrope and went over, like, what was it, like the Grand Canyon or something? All right, and he's got this, and he's rolling it across. And everybody's like, that's awesome, that's great. And he says, who thinks I could do it again? I do. And he says, okay, somebody get in the wheelbarrow. And nobody wants to get in the wheelbarrow. Well, that's been a classic illustration. I've heard that so many times. But what if we took that a step further? What if, and you know, and this goes with the analogy, what if it's God with the wheelbarrow? And he says, hey, who thinks I can do this again? I can. All right then, put your children in the wheelbarrow. It's a scary world. And you know what? You get all, if you do all this right, all these statistics, guess what? They're just statistics. Psychology is not a blanket. It does not cover everyone equally. I've seen people do none of this. Their kids came out great. I've seen parents do all of this. Their kids do not. All I can do is give you the highest statistical probability to give you the best possible chance to help us improve this situation. That's it. And this scary part of developing a faith in your kids, when Jesus says, I do not want you to have a spirit of timidity, but of power, that's not just for us. We have to teach this to our kids. Which brings me to the number two highest concept of the common denominators, which is religiously committed parents. Religiously committed parents. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? More importantly, do your kids see it? Every week, it's really interesting. There's no way you can do everything, but I do know of a lot of the opportunities that are going on right now. Sunday morning, there's Bible classes. Sunday morning, there's worship. We're coming back to the small groups on Sunday nights. I should move that. Tuesday nights, there's Warriors for Christ, a wonderful ministry that is going on, led by Mr. Jeunesse, correlating martial arts training to spiritual practices. Wednesday nights, we have discipleship training for teenagers at 4:30. We have a fellowship meal at 6 o'clock. We have Bible classes at 7 o'clock. Thursday nights, there is Celebrate Recovery, a great program that Amy has gotten us involved in. During the school year, on Friday nights, there's FNL, Friday Night Lights, just a fellowship time where teens can be teens. There's various mission trips. There's various retreats. There's various things going on. The question is, are we illustrating to our children that Christ is number one in our life if we just don't think we need that stuff to go to heaven? When our children look at us as we do our best to personify Christ, do they see someone that puts Christ before all other things? There's a passage I would like to read. It's in Matthew chapter 6. For me, it's a really good recalibration. When I realize that spiritually I'm not doing what I need to be doing, which, quite frankly, is a lot more often than people realize, I go to this passage. It's really familiar. I wouldn't say it's overused, but if some people was to use that term, you would know what they mean. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Isn't it interesting that within this bold statement of seek first the kingdom of God, he talks so much about worrying. He talks about so much about, guys, don't worry too much about tomorrow. Okay, and that's not going against what Brad just talked about. These concepts are a little bit more fleshed out once his disciples start writing letters. But the concept is, guys, why are we so worried about the future that we miss out on what is right now? Dedicate yourself, make Christ the center of your kingdom, and what you need is going to be provided. But again, sometimes it gets easy for us. I know it's not easy, but to an extent it is. The hard part is saying, I'm going to teach my kids that. Prepare for college. It's important. If that is your lot in life, quit worrying about it. Hey, there are so many gifts that each and every one of us have been given. Use them to the glory of God. Train yourself to the best of your abilities. But don't worship the creations. Keep your mind on the Creator. And it is so hard not to fall into that trap. I do it over and over and over again. It's why I constantly need people who are bold enough to say, Jeremy, quit doing that. You're the youth minister. The kids are watching you. And it terrifies me. But this is a team sport, which is, I'm going to get to that here in just a little bit, but there is this very, very important thing that we are coming to about why this relates to everyone in this room. Because again, I think we fall into the trap where we say, well, I don't have kids in the youth group. Yes, you do. I don't have kids in college. Yes, you do. But we're getting there. Because the next one is really interesting. I'm not going to go too in detail, not because I think it's awkward, not at all, but just because of time. Abstinence from all forms of sexual activity. All forms. That one's really interesting. I think that kind of goes in a half and half thing, where halfway, yeah, you realize the biblical teachings about it and its addictive nature and where that happens. But also, unfortunately, from how many years we made that a taboo subject and we didn't do a good job with Christian education. The fact is, you can be forgiven of all sins, and Jesus loves you no matter what. That is true. So the concept that one sin is worse than another in the reference point of what can be forgiven is absolutely accurate. Whatever has happened, whatever you have done, that doesn't mean you give up, and that sure should not mean you feel judged by us. And if that's me, again, check me. But we have got to be this group that understands the grace of Jesus and applies that to people who need help. Otherwise, nothing changes. And if nothing changes, most of our congregations will be gone in 50 years. Okay, this one's also really interesting. How about this one? Being persecuted, being made fun of because you're a Christian. That is one of the top common denominators of those who held on to their faith. It kind of seems like it would be the opposite, but not really if you think about it. Going back to our previous subject, this relates to this. It is very interesting because as far as sexual activity goes, congratulations, you guys are the most sexually pure generation in 30 years. I know a lot of you is like, that's not what I heard on TV. How is that possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. There's a couple of negative things that go into that, but predominantly, this is one of the things that I've noticed. And I'm sure you guys have noticed, decade after decade, teens are rebellious. They have a rebellious nature. They had it, I had it, you had it, we all had it. So when a culture starts to say, you have no choice but to be sexually active, we have a bunch of rebellious teenagers who suddenly say, excuse me, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to wait till marriage. Shh, don't tell them. But that is something that is a good thing. We have actually made headways into this. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have gone away from the taboo mentality of Christian sexual education in most circles. And that has always led to just a healthier understanding of sex with young people. All right, another one that kind of flows in and out with the bottom being. Another one is questions. Okay, do we support an opportunity where the teenagers or young people or even you guys have the right and the freedom to ask any question that you need to ask, no matter how awkward? And the teacher will not respond by sweating first. Whether it's to deal with apologetics, questions we didn't used to want to let them ask because we weren't sure ourselves. Whether it's to do with other theologies in the world. Why do Muslims believe this? Other Christian theologies. Why do some groups believe in baptism and some don't? Why do some have instruments and some not? Random questions of that. A lot of times it comes just to what do you think about the purity of the world? Again, this goes back to Christian sexual education in various circumstances. But did they feel free to ask a question and get honest answers? That is a key ingredient. One of the big common denominators, and this one does not fluctuate. Does every student, and by student I mean all of you, we're not just saying kids, okay? Do you have at least 5 other adults that you are not related to that are trying to develop a relationship with you? A good Christian relationship with you. 5. When I presented this question in class, somebody was like, what about 3 or 4? No, the statistics drop off dramatically if it's only 3 or 4. At least 5. Now, Kay is going to come on up. And she is going to explain what are the systems that we are trying to implement here. You should probably go there. There's a microphone. Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Okay. Ooh, this is really bad. The prayer warriors that you've seen in your bulletin that we've been talking about, that Jeremy mentioned the Sundays on Saturday that we had yesterday, one of the drivers in putting in that program, the way we're doing it this year, is to start helping with this 5-to-1. I think it was the year, maybe before we came, you guys did the praying for our young people, because I know it's happened in the past. And I know there's other places that that's happened, but we're adding an element to that that I hope will expand that program. We divided basically into about 5 geographical areas of the city. You know, I came from Houston, so the fact that I might have to drive an hour to something doesn't seem like a big deal to me, but almost every place else I go, people think it's a problem. So we tried to section out the city where you could select a young person from your area if you to make this process easier. In addition to praying throughout this year for the person that you choose, we're asking you to make a connection. Let them know that you're praying for them. Send them encouraging cards. If you get an opportunity, if they play soccer, if they have gymnastics meets, whatever it is that they do, try to find that out and show up at something. Make it where they see your face more than just at this building. We talked a little bit more, some of us afterwards. Young people see the church as this building rather than the people. So we are trying to help with that. But if you select 1, 2, 3, I do know a family that's got 4. They're just an overzealous family. You're welcome to select more than one, but at least try to select one that you pray for and that you develop this relationship through whatever way works best for you and build that bond so that child has you as one of their potential 5. About 60 parents sent me information, and I put that with the envelope for those particular children. If the one you select does not have that there, and you have any trouble figuring out a way to contact that family, just give me a call or text me or something, and I'll help make sure you get a chance to contact them and let them know and go from, you know, start to build your bond there. And he didn't tell me I could do this, but I see a problem in the bulletin, so I'm gonna address this, and this is my fault because I didn't tell Victoria. The LTC kickoff that's under the children's ministry is not just for children. It's for 3rd grade through 12th grade. The kickoff meeting is not the 8th, which it says in the teen part, because I forgot to take that line out. We had to switch it. It's the 22nd. But I can tell you another way that your child can build one of these 5 is if they participate in some form of LTC, because there are some dedicated adults that give a lot of time to helping prepare your children for LTC, and there's no choice but to build a bond. You see them every Sunday afternoon for months there. I want you to know that if you're interested in LTC, you don't have to go to Charlotte to be involved in it. So be sure and come to that meeting and hear more about it. Thanks.
Good job. No, you did good. That's fine. All right, so whoever is supposed to text Melinda to say the special needs people can come in, it's time to do that. Because we're going to take a few... All right, cool, thank you. Because we are going to take a few minutes to acknowledge our students, all right? And I hope I don't forget any group. That being said, make sure, listen, if you are a Bible teacher here at Brooks or you're one of our blessed teachers who are out in the world, when I talk about our teachers coming up, that includes the spectrum, okay? All right? All the kids who are under kindergarten, if you're in the room, you guys go ahead and start making your way to the stage. Parents, feel free to come with them if you wish. And also, y'all feel free to applaud as much as you want to during this time for our children, because, you know. Also, our special needs kids are making their way up, so let's give them a silent wave of applause as well. Kindergartners, if you are in the kindergarten, come on up. Come on up and join us. First grade, come on up. First grade, come on up. Second grade, come on up. Third grade, come on up. Come on up. Fifth grade, come on up. Sixth graders, come on up. Brothers, come on up. Eighth graders, come on up. Ninth graders, come on up. All right, you guys are going to have to start scooting in, guys. Y'all are going to have to start scooting in. We got to make a lot of room. What did I just say? Did I say nine? I'm so bad at this. So I did say ninth graders? Okay, 10th graders, y'all should come on up. All right, you guys, go on in. Go on in. Yeah, you guys, yeah, come on up. 11th graders, come on up. We'll make room for you. Hey, some of y'all use those stairs too. 12th graders, come on up. Come on up!
That's him up there. That's all.
Anyone who is furthering their education in any field, no matter how old you are, we would like for you to come up as well. Because I know there are a few of you. And we're proud of you as well. Okay. Educators. Whether it's Bible classes here or scholastically, please come on up. Yeah. All right. One of our elders, Mike Leffler, is going to offer a prayer over everyone. If you wouldn't mind bowing your heads as Mike prays for us.
There's a scripture that I love, Zephaniah 3:17. It says, "The Lord is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and rejoice over you with singing." Let's pray. Father, you are a mighty God. Powerful in all ways. We are in awe in your presence, and we know that you love these children, these adults, that they are precious to you, that you take delight in them. We know that this school year will bring stress and anxiety and fear. It will bring good times and bad times. We understand in those times of anxiety that you are with us in your mighty way. You will bring us power through our ability to pray to you and talk to you about the trials that we face. You have given us a church family to provide encouragement and strength. Help us as we reach out to these students to be committed to that. To bring your message of comfort and love in a mighty way into their lives through words of encouragement or letters or being at their events. We thank you for these children and the gift that they are. We know that you love them and sing praises over them and take great delight in them. Help us to be your church. Help us to be your family of believers. Help us to provide love through the strength that we know that comes from you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for these precious blessings and gifts on these children. And I pray that as they go to school and take on this new adventure, that you would bless them with the knowledge of your presence every moment as they face this world. I pray that you'd be with them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys head on back down. Give them a big round of applause. Good job, everybody. Good job, everybody. That's him.
Hey, Camden. Come with us. Come with our class. You want to go back downstairs or you want to stay up with your dad? You want to stay with your dad?
We're going to
go play in the gym.
We're going to the gym?
What? Camden, come on. I'm sorry. You can go this way. Here, Camden, let's go to the gym.
This is really cool, isn't it, watching all this? I love this. One of the other classes I took in my master's program dealt with conflict management. And one of the things that we found out is that public speaking, as far as changing people's minds, does absolutely nothing. In fact, if I was to present everything I just said on a really funny meme and put it on social media, I'd do a better job of statistically convincing people. And you know what? And it's possible that you're right. Maybe your kid doesn't need all this stuff to go to heaven. I've seen at least in my 15 years around 10 kids that did great doing that. But we're not talking about your paternal kids. We're talking about everybody's. And some of you guys have extremely spiritually mature young people. I need them to help those in the groups that are not there yet. Get rid of the statistics. They're just numbers. They don't mean anything. Chris Gifford is not a statistic. He is a human being. Jeremy, the female Jeremy, is not a statistic. She's a human being made in the image of God. Our college students are not statistics. They are human beings. Take out the statistics, take out the numbers, and just look at the kids. I know I'm not perfect, and if you want, we can take the whole time to talk about my deficiencies. I'm better at it than you are. But all I can do is my best. I need you to come with me on that journey. In 50 years, I want to see a whole lot of these young children being beacons in the church. And I get it. We've messed up along the way a few times. I get that. Forgive us. We can do better. We will do better. There is no prayer circle, so they wanted me to offer an invitation. And so this is it. I think there'll probably be a couple of elders coming on down. That's my assumption. It's a safe assumption. But if you have a need, whether it is time to be baptized to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you just need prayers, or quite frankly, you, like me, as I prepared for this, realized that we sometimes let our hang-ups and our fears get in the way. I struggle with legalism. I really do. Especially when preparing things like that, because I realize how much legalism has hurt so many people over the years. One of the things that I've had to come to realize is, Jeremy, just because of that, you cannot afford to swing the pendulum and no longer care what the Bible has for your life. Because it's really easy to do. And I apologize for that. But whatever your need is, I want you to understand that we are fighting hard to be a loving, grace-filled congregation that cares about people. If you have any needs, any prayers, please come forward while together we stand and sing. Thank you.